And our state capitol report continues now, taking a look at a new report that says Wisconsin spends more on jails and prisons than all of its neighboring states, including Minnesota, whose incarceration rate is less than half of Wisconsin's. As we continue our state capitol report, we will talk with the study's author about her findings and her call for alternatives to incarceration. And we will welcome your questions about this report and this issue and what you think about whether or not we need alternatives to prison in Wisconsin. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Tamarine Cornelius, a research analyst with the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. She is the author of the report, Prison Price Tag, The High Cost of Wisconsin's Corrections Policies, which she prepared for the Wisconsin Budget Project, an initiative of the WCCF. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. Thank you very much for being with us. So what's the most important point you want people to get from the report that you prepared?
That Wisconsin residents are paying a high price for short-sighted policy decisions about corrections that have been made over the last decades. Part of that cost comes out of our pocketbooks in terms of how much we're paying for corrections. And then another part of the cost is a cost in terms of human potential and the damage done to our communities. But Wisconsin spends a lot of money on corrections. State and local governments together spend about $1.5 billion on corrections every year in Wisconsin. And on a per-resident basis, only 11 states spend more. So we spend about 12% higher than the national average on corrections. And we spend higher than all of our neighboring states, including states like Illinois, on a per-resident basis.
Well, yeah, so we spend more per person on corrections than Illinois, Michigan, Iowa, Minnesota. Yeah. Does this mean we're safer than those neighboring states?
Locking up a lot of people is not an effective way to promote public safety. So there are a lot more cost-effective ways to promote public safety. And also it doesn't mean locking up people doesn't follow that we have somehow addressed crime. So the relationship between putting people behind bars and improving the safety of our communities is really fuzzy. There's a lot of other things that go into the equation. So decisions that policymakers have made about who goes to prison and how long they go to prison have affected the number of people that go in much more than our crime rate. And in terms of keeping us safer, other things like investing in jobs and education can do a better job.
You mentioned that Wisconsin spends $1.5 billion on corrections, at least it did in 2013, and you mentioned that that is 12% more than the per capita national average, and that only 11 states spend more. What is all this money paying for?
Well, it pays for a lot of different things. It pays at the state level, it pays to put people behind bars, but there's also a whole other part of a correction system in terms of probation and other things, and also pays at the local level for jail. So it pays for a whole spectrum of corrections services. And the amount of money that we've been spending on corrections has really skyrocketed in Wisconsin over the last couple decades as we have put more people behind bars. So if you look at the history of how much we're spending, I took a look at how much we're going to spend in this budget compared to the budget 14 years ago, and the amount of tax money that the state is spending on the correction system has increased 7% over that time after you account for inflation. But if you compare that to how much money the state is spending on our school system, that amount has decreased by 14% over that period. And the amount of tax money that we're spending on the university system has decreased by 20% over that period. So we are pushing more money into our correction system, and we're pushing less money into our K-12 education system in our university system, and that is not a set of priorities that is going to result in a good return on investment for our tax dollars.
So has Wisconsin always outspent our neighbors on corrections, or is this, you said it skyrocketed in recent years, is this a relatively newer trend?
Well, it has skyrocketed in recent years, but that's actually part of a national trend. Everybody across the country was part of this big experiment in the 80s and the 90s and the early part of the 2000s where we locked up more people. And so the number of people that we put behind bars just climbed steadily and dramatically. And by we, I mean Wisconsin, but I also mean nationally.
Mm-hmm.
And the good news is that now that trend seems to have stalled. So we are no longer seeing these enormous increases in the rates of people that we're locking up. But the bad news is that it hasn't come back down. So it sort of plateaued, the number of people that we're locking up. And it's plateaued at this very high level. And because we're at this high level and the number of people we're putting behind bars, we have high costs associated with that level as well. So we now are spending, Wisconsin spends more tax dollars on the correction system than it does on the University of Wisconsin system. And that, I think, is an example of our misguided priorities.
We have just a couple of minutes before news break, and we have more time after that. But why is Minnesota's incarceration rate less than half of Wisconsin's?
They have made it a priority to focus less on locking people up and more on other, more cost-effective ways of addressing public safety that still hold people accountable and keep communities safe. So they have a lot more emphasis on probation rather than going straight to prison. And so that has also kept their costs considerably lower than in Wisconsin.
We'll check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll look at some of the alternatives to incarceration options that perhaps Wisconsin could employ to lower its cost of spending on prisons. And we will welcome your thoughts and your questions for our guest at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Tamarine Cornelius, a research analyst with the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. She is the author of the report, Prison Price Tag, The High Cost of Wisconsin's Corrections Policies. We are talking about those costs and the alternatives and wondering what you think should happen. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is our State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking about Wisconsin prison spending. According to a new report, Wisconsin spends more on jails and prisons than all of our neighboring states. This report by the Wisconsin Budget Project says that Wisconsin spent $1.5 billion on prisons in 2013. That's 12% higher than the national average, only 11 states spending more per capita. And we are talking about why this is and whether Wisconsin has its priorities straight. And we are welcoming your questions. Do you think that Wisconsin has its corrections priorities in order, or do you think they're out of whack? What sorts of changes might you like to see Wisconsin implement, or what should happen to reduce our prison population, or are you worried that such an action would make us less safe? Let us know your questions or concerns at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Tamarine Cornelius. She is a research analyst with the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, and she is the author of this report, Prison Price Tag, which she prepared for the Wisconsin Budget Process Project. And we were just talking about Minnesota having, half of the prison population as Wisconsin, and you say this is because Minnesota has more policies that, for instance, Tamarine, more probation than Wisconsin.
Right. They focused less on locking people up and more on other ways of keeping people accountable that don't necessarily involve putting them behind bars, and that also then don't have the associated really high costs of putting them behind bars. So they're locking people up at a much lower rate. Their costs are lower, but you know, Minnesota is a safe state, right? So I think that they're an example of what we could be doing and saving a whole lot of money by reevaluating our priorities.
And you point out that Wisconsin should be spending more money addressing mental health and addiction issues of those who commit minor crimes. How many people are we locking up that fit that description?
Well, I think that if we can focus on, there's kind of three ways three steps that we could take to try to bring down some of our number of people that we're locking up. And one is taking people with mental health and addiction problems, minor offenders, low-level offenders, and making sure that they don't wind up behind bars and that instead we address their issues that are causing them to commit crimes. So we can just divert a chunk of people out from the prison system right off the bat by doing that, putting more resources into that. Mm-hmm. And then another way to address this high incarceration rate is that once people have served their time behind bars and they're on probation, if they violate their terms of probation, they can go back to prison. So about 40% of new prison admissions are not because somebody's been convicted of a new crime, but because people have violated their probation. So that could be things like taking a job and not telling your probation agent, or using a computer when you weren't allowed to. So the fact that so many people coming into our prison system are not being convicted of new crimes, I think, is another area where we could focus on bringing down our prison populations and our associated costs. And then once people get out and stay out, we need to make sure that they can get jobs and keep jobs that help them support themselves and their families and contribute to their communities. And we can help them do that by removing some of the barriers to employment.
Like ban the box?
Like ban the box, exactly. And ban the box is one of those areas that people from across the political spectrum have been working on. So what ban the box means is that ban the box requires employers, when they're hiring somebody, to not ask about a conviction right up front, because then what happens is those people just get cut out of the rest of the employment process. So you can still ask about the convictions of a potential job candidate, but you need to do it later in the process, where by that point people have had an opportunity to be evaluated on their skills and their abilities and then can explain their record if need be. So at the national level, both Senator Ron Johnson and Tammy Baldwin have been working on this issue to ban the box for federal contractors. And, you know, I don't think there's a lot of overlap between issues that those two agree on. So anytime we can find an issue that they agree on, then I think that there's a lot of potential there to work on. At the state level, the proposal to change up the state civil service system originally included a proposal to ban the box for state jobs. So, and that is coming out of, you know, the Republican side of things. Now that is kind of up in the air now, but I think it shows that this is an area where we can get people from different sides of the political spectrum to agree and to work and to push this issue.
What was the fourth alternative or solution?
Well, I think that the three things are to keep people from going to prison in the first place, once they're on probation, to keep them from going back, and then once they're out, to be able to get them into jobs. And so examples of that would be banning the box. Another example of that would be to beef up the state's transitional jobs program. So the state has a very small program where they provide subsidies to employers who hire people who don't have a lot of job skills, and it helps these people get work experience, and then they can move on to the other jobs. But it's a small program, and it's only in Milwaukee for now. But if we beef that up, that could help people getting out from behind bars to get and keep jobs. And in New York, they did an evaluation of a program like this that's aimed at people leaving the correctional system, and they found out that every dollar that the state invested in this jobs program saved $2 in terms of reduced incarceration in the future and improved public safety costs. So it's a cost-effective way of making sure that people can get into jobs once they leave prison or jail.
Let's go to Ron in Knapp. Hello, Ron.
Hi. I know of three people that were in driver fatalities. Two were drunk and one was high. They all had good jobs. Instead of putting these people in prison, none of them had a record. Why don't we have them pay restitution to the family? One is in prison for life because of a comment he made, and he with no chance of parole. And we're spending money for these people that were never in trouble. They shouldn't have been drinking or whatever, but they had jobs. The families could use this money. If they don't follow through, then put them in prison. That would cut our population by a long shot.
What about that, Tamarine?
Well, without, commenting on the specific case, I think that there is a range of things that we can do to hold people accountable short of prison, including fines and extensive probation, and that it speaks also to the need to address drug and alcohol problems as one of the components, put more emphasis on that, and as one of the components of things that can keep our communities safe.
We have another comment on Facebook who says, Pat says, for one thing, Governor Walker banned early release for good behavior, and that keeps the prison population high. Is that a factor?
Well, I think that we haven't really, in Wisconsin, we haven't really come to face the fact that the decisions that policymakers have made contribute to that very high incarceration rate. So we make these laws and these rules about sentencing, and then we don't ever think about the other side of things. We don't ever think about, well, that means that we're spending more, and that means that we're inflicting this human cost. And there's sort of this disconnect. And then I think before before we are able to bring down these costs, we are going to have to take a look at decisions like that and other decisions and say, you know what, those decisions have an effect, and we are paying for them. And if we want to spend less money on corrections, then we need to take a look at these decisions that lawmakers have made.
Bill on Facebook says, our laws and police procedures are different between Wisconsin and Minnesota. A great example is Milwaukee does not chase criminals, but Minneapolis does. If you don't have a deterrence in place, more people will commit crimes. Well, I'm not sure about the police chase laws in the cities, but are there big differences when it comes to policing and police procedures between the two states?
Well, policing and police procedures is one component of a correction system. And it's an important part, but a more significant part is in terms of decisions that lawmakers have made about who goes to prison, how long they go to prison, and whether there are alternatives. So that is usually a bigger driver than what happens on the street. Not to say that what happens on the street isn't an important part.
Joel on Facebook says, I thought spending was high in Wisconsin because we spend so much on corrections officers, high salaries, and we have too many. Oh, wait, neither of those things is true. The prison guard shortage, I guess he's referring to. How does that weigh into this?
Well, so what he's talking about is that for years, Wisconsin has had a hard time keeping and retaining prison guards, and one of the reasons is that because we can't get enough people, then the people that we do hire are required to work mandatory overtime and in conditions that aren't always safe. And then that, of course, makes it harder to recruit new people, and it's sort of this vicious circle. So why that's been bubbling for years, then Act 10, which cut their benefits and making them pay more for the benefits, has brought that to a boil. So I think that the shortage of prison guards further underscores our need to try to work to bring down the number of people we're locking up, because then if we can bring down the populations of our prisons and jails, we won't have these shortages as acute shortages in terms of the number of people working, because we'll be able to make do with fewer people. So I think that it's sort of one more reason why we need to try to bring down number of people that we're locking up.
Thank you very much. Tamarine Cornelius is a research analyst with the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.